Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast they call Comes Naturally. As always, we ask you to do a couple things to help us out. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then head on over to Twitter, follow our Twitter. It is
at Comes Natural Pod.
After you do that, go to iTunes, rate the podcast, review this podcast, and subscribe to the podcast. Cody, start proper, bitch.
Oh.
Welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. Welcome to this week's show, everybody.
Our super special, spectacular Oscar preview show.
But before we get there, Mike, do you have any wrestling stuff?
Nah, you are Royal bitch. Rumble on Sunday.
Royal Rumble on
Who's
Sunday.
Who's in it?
Everybody, dude.
Yeah.
Goldberg's in it. Brock Lesnar's in it. Undertaker's in it. Big Show's in it. And then some surprises.
Oh, hey, heard the rumors that that Japanese guy that does the Terminator thing?
Yeah.
Might be moving over to America.
Kenny Omega.
That's the one.
Yeah. His contract with New Japan, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I was really trying to figure out how to watch Wrestle Kingdom because Kenny Omega versus Okada was supposed to be one of the greatest matches of all time. I've seen a little bit of the match. I haven't seen the whole thing yet, so my bad, y'all. But his contract, supposedly, this is the rumors, his contract expires 2 days after WrestleMania. And the rumors are they want him to debut at Mania the Royal Rumble 2 days after Royal Rumble. So he's super hot right now. He could have a dope angle going into Mania. But it's not unthinkable to think that maybe WWE worked out something with New Japan to try to get Omega 2 days off, you know, so he can debut at the Rumble and be a big surprise entrant. So that's going to be one of those, let's see what happens. And there's also lots of rumors going around on the internet buzz.
Internet?
That,
the fuck is the internet?
Samoa Joe is a guy who has killed it in TNA for a long time, much like AJ Styles, which I've talked about in the past. But unlike AJ Styles, when Samoa Joe joined the WWE, he went into NXT, their quote, air quotes, developmental thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he wanted to go there because, like, it has more of an indie wrestling vibe to it because it's smaller shows and the crowds are always super fucking into it. And he's done nothing but fantastic things in NXT. And the rumor, which I don't know how I feel about this because I want it to be true because it would be dope. But then I also, like, I don't want to know what happens. Mm-hmm. But the rumor is he's going to debut on the main roster in the Royal Rumble and win the Royal Rumble and fight John Cena at Mania for the title, which would be fucking nuts because I don't think anybody has debuted in the Rumble and won it.
Really?
Like, it's always been established WWE guys as one. Every now and then, like, it's always guys that, like, you feel like you know who's going to win it. Like, yeah. Stone Cold won it, like, three times.
More established characters rather
yeah.
than...
Yeah, and it... Because for a long time, the Royal Rumble was used to, like, we have all these different storylines, but going into Mania, like, we need Stone Cold versus The Rock because they did it, like, three times. So how do we get that on track? And the Mania or Royal Rumble was the easiest thing. We're like, we'll just have one of them in the Royal Rumble and... Boom, you're there. You know, you don't have to build it up at all
because
mm-hmm. the popularity of those guys are already there. So, like, John Cena's won it coming off of injury. Edge run it coming off of injury. Like, it's a good way to get established guys back. So it'd be super dope to see somebody who hasn't really done anything, at least on the main roster, win it. That'd be pretty exciting. I'm hoping it's somebody that we haven't seen with a title before. I hope it's somebody new, like somebody that, fresh.
That,
so.
What's that guy's name that wears a picture of himself on his shirt? Do you like the unknown guy?
Huh? The one from Ellsworth?
Yeah. He comes in and wins it all?
I don't want that.
Oh, come on. It'd be amazing.
I'm not sure what Ellsworth's full-on wrestling capabilities are, and I don't want him in a big match at Mania.
Yeah.
I do.
It would be dope to see him in it. I hope he gets in it. I hope he gets an elimination. And then gets eliminated. but yeah, Samoa Joe would be dope. Or even Kenny Omega. I mean, imagine some... It'd be just super exciting for a wrestling fan. It's like, I've seen every Royal Rumble.
Of course you
have. And none of them is, like, the winner has never completely shocked me. There's always like two or three guys where you're like, it's one of these three guys. Mm-hmm. Like every year, it's one of these three guys. So it'd be super dope if it's not one of those three guys this year. If it's not a Lesnar or Goldberg or Taker or John Cena. Do they still do like cage matches? Yeah, every now and then.
Like ladder stuff where they have to get the briefcase down or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Those are always my favorites.
Ladder matches are dope. Ridiculous. They've done better recently of making those fewer and far between. So now they feel more special again. Because for a while, it was like a ladder match on every show and a cage match every other show. And you're like, oh,
ladder match that turns into a cage match.
Yeah, it's just weird
like
shit.
You couldn't tell that there's a fucking cage hanging from the roof. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, it's a ladder match. No.
There's a cage.
No, there's a cage.
Yeah.
Cage is coming down.
That's always one of the things, too. If you, I follow a couple, like, fuck, I'm a nerd, sorry, wrestling news Twitter
air
accounts.
Quotes, yeah. Right. You need air quotes. Yeah.
But they always like, hey, spoiler alert, there's a cage at Raw tonight. And it's like, oh, so we're getting a steel cage match. It needs to always be there.
Just so you can't ever tell what's happening or not?
They need to always have the cage.
They just randomly drop it, too.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of the match, and you just have the announcer shout, cage match, and it just...
Or Seth Rollins,
like no one's in there. Oh, like,
yeah. I gotta show you this video. Seth Rollins almost got killed by a cage lowering down because he tried to like go in and I think he knew what he was doing. He was trying to make it look good, but you could tell it scared the guy operating the cage because it stopped fast and it jerked. And I was like, oh shit, I don't think he was supposed to do that. Because the way the cage works now is it obviously the four corners tie up to the ring post. But there's like these things that clip on to the edge of the mat,
mm-hmm.
and there's like so it'd be like an anchor setting. Mm-hmm. You tap an anchor in a wall, and then that goes into the screw. So there's like an anchor that they attach to the ring, and there's like a spike thing.
Oh, so it's a move
that stabilizes it. And when I say spike thing, it looks like a fucking spike, dude. It looks dangerous. And Seth Rollins came like probably like 4 inches from it.
Ugh.
It looked like he knew what he was doing, like he had it timed out, but you could tell it scared the dude operating it because it stopped super fast and it kind of bounced and moved around like it wasn't supposed to stop like that.
That's hilarious.
I got scared. I was like, oh, Seth Rollins dead.
I was like, I liked you a little bit.
Damn you, 2016. So claims another one.
Yeah. But that's my not having a wrestling minute.
Good job. Yeah.
Good job, Mike. Good job.
Joseph, give us some science.
Got a couple things.
Yeah, yeah.
One, coming from Popular Mechanics. See what happens when the I'm going to totally butcher this.
Too late.
Yeah, I know. Right? Huygens spacecraft saw when it landed on Titan. So, what was that? About 12 and a half years, the Cassini spent orbiting around Saturn and taking pictures of about all the moons and the rings and whatnot. It also dropped off a probe called the Huygens. And it has an actual video. You can go to popularmechanics.com. There's actually a YouTube video, it looks like, that has the pictures as it went down to the surface. So it's pretty cool to look at. I suggest going to there and looking at it. The next thing is NASA finally picked the designs for future homes on Mars. This isn't obviously anything that like is set in stone for something that they're going to absolutely do, but NASA, along with other companies, always once in a while hold these design competitions, as it were, really. And this one was to build a functional habitat on Mars. And let's see, what was the name of the group that won? It was the Team Space Exploration Architecture and Clouds Architecture Office in New York.
Fuck that name.
Yeah, right.
Fuck,
but some of these, like
Team Red.
This is the one that won.
The Death Star.
It's a Death Star.
But you have like some really weird other designs.
Ooh.
As you go through. And I actually saw this and was thinking about, you know, at least attempting
like
it,
Star Wars.
Attempting it myself.
What the fuck is that? That's from the one with the Gay Sinise.
Red Planet.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
The chin.
That's true, yeah.
Being sons of bitches.
But the idea behind this is they give you some stipulations that, let me think, this one was like most of your materials have to be something from Mars. It has to be able to withstand the Mars climate. It has to
something from
protect
Mars?
You from. You have to
mine would have been
source
a hole.
Source your materials from Mars, because you got to imagine that it would cost a lot of money to bring over water, concrete stuff. You
oh
know,
yeah,
anything that you would naturally think to
oh,
build
gotcha.
With
so
on,
something to be able
on
to build.
Earth.
Oh, okay, I get you.
You know, you're not shipping wood over there, you know, to build homes or anything. It'd be super weird. So like this one, it literally is just like this component, and then it balloons out into the rest of it.
It
in which case you add
out of it?
Yeah, in which case you add structure to it
from Mars.
And if I recall right, the one that won uses water in this. It doesn't say here. Uses water within the skin of it, and if you don't know, water is actually a really good way to block radiation.
Huh.
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
Well, now you do. That's why they actually use it in nuclear reactors.
I thought it was just because it cooled down and they could.
It cools it too. Yes.
Because it turns the steam.
But though, but when you look at the pools, people are actually able to stand at the top of pools without using any type of radiation suit, because water is actually a really good barrier to radiation.
Huh. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Science.
Boom, motherfucker. That's your science moments.
Oh, I had one more thing.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry. I thought you were done.
Nope, not quite done yet.
Way to go, Mike.
I know,
so
right?
Next time. Come on.
So of all places, it's a weird website that I stumbled upon for this
scienceporn.org.
one. No, but that would have make more sense. This one's called Salon.
What if that's a thing?
I don't know. Anyway, Earth keeps melting away. Large iceberg poised to break off from Antarctica.
Yeah.
So, a rift has been wending its way across Antarctica's massive Larsen C ice shelf. Just made another leap forward, growing by more than 10 miles. Scientists monitoring it reported last week. The rift itself is... The rift runs more than 50 miles from south to north across the ice shelf. This particular ice shelf holds... Let's see, where is it? I can't find where it says how much water it is, but...
Good job.
Well, I read this a week ago. I was going to do this as last week's, and then we talked about the Nintendo Switch, and that's all it ended up being was the Nintendo Switch last time. So the okay, here's
switch things up.
Yeah, we really did switch things up. The entire West Antarctic ice sheet, of which Larsen C is a part of, holds enough ice to raise the sea levels by another 10 to 13 feet if it were all to melt. So this rather large one is approximately 5,000 square kilometers, and it's poised to break off. So, yeah.
Like Brewster's Millions.
It's going to break off, and we're going to have a lot more water in the ocean, which you would think doesn't sound bad until you realize that sea levels rise, and you start starting to look at a lot of lower-lying lands going underwater. Like, I believe Madagascar or something like that would pretty much be
gone.
Because it's already eroding away.
Eroding.
But you add more water into the ocean, raises the levels up.
Boom, no more island of singing animals.
Yep. Nice. But there's no such thing as climate change, right?
No, just water level change.
Just water level change.
But see, in Brewster's Millions, they wanted to bring an iceberg down into the desert areas in Afghanistan for farmers. So they knew they were going to pull a chunk out and put some outboard engines and push the iceberg down. That was part, and he invested in that.
Yeah, no, that's Futurama. That's, I mean, yes, but
I mean that's where Futurama got it from. But yeah, I watched Brewster's Millions the other night.
Okay. Why?
Because I wanted to watch something funny.
Why,
okay.
Why does Cody do the things that he does?
Yeah, don't question me.
Is it the beard?
Yeah, the beard.
Okay.
Boom! Now you're done with your science moments.
Yeah, that's the science
moments. Science moments done. Dun, 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 dun. Like Mike said at the beginning of the show, this is our super special Oscar
preview.
Show.
All right. Here's the facts, kids.
Whoa.
You put money in the office pool for who's going to win what Oscars, like everyone does. You always go in. It's like the Super Bowl for movie nerds. It's not. That none of that matters. But if you are doing an Oscar pool, there's an Oscar pool. There's Oscar pools.
I don't think so.
I used to do it one of my old jobs.
Was it Were there other people involved?
It just happened to be at the movie theater.
Yeah, it's a cast. Oh,
okay.
But if you are doing this, you're a movie nerd, we're going to tell you who's going to win what. And
if you remember last year, we were not correct on 93% of them.
So this year, we're going to flip the script. We promise you.
Mike promises you.
Guaranteed.
Mike guarantees.
That we will get some of them right.
Yeah, I'm not going to guarantee any of that.
Do that. Do that.
I'll tell you what I think.
What you will.
But
I guarantee we're going to get at least one right.
Okay.
No. Guarantee it.
Mike's odds are one out of all of these.
And I also guarantee if you listen to us, you will be rich.
In knowledge, right?
In entertainment.
In entertainment and knowledge.
But also...
Nope.
All right. So basically, here's the situation. We're going to break down each category. We're going to tell you who the nominations are. We're going to tell you who's going to win the goddamn thing so you can win all the monies. We're going to start with the shitty ones first that nobody cares about.
Guess you should go to the bottom of the list, huh?
Bottom of the list.
We're going to
do it like the show. We're going to end with Best Picture.
Well, guess I better go to the...
So there's a lot we're going to skip over. We're going to go to the main categories.
We don't care about the
best grip and blah, blah, blah. All right, so bottom one, best visual effects. Here are your nominations. Deepwater Horizon, Doctor Strange, The Jungle Book, Kubo and the Two Strings, and Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
And your winner is The Jungle Book.
Jungle Book was pretty spectacular.
Jungle Book is going to win.
Mike says Jungle Book.
In an upset victory.
This one's tough.
I mean, really,
because
Disney has three of the five.
Can we say Disney's gonna win?
I guarantee you,
Disney's gonna win.
I mean, three of those.
It's not gonna be Deepwater Horizon.
I haven't seen it either.
No, but I mean,
that shark looked fucking terrifying.
Compared to the rest of these movies, I've
I don't
seen
know what Deepwater Horizon is.
No, Deepwater, it's the oil rig one with Marky Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But compared to the rest of these, the visual effects, you know, in the rest of them are much more fantastic.
No Marky Mark movie is going to win an Oscar. All right. Let's just say that right now. The Departed.
I'm going to go with Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh, dang.
Nah, that's wrong.
Jungle Book is a very good movie, and the visual effects in it were fantastic. But
one real thing in that movie,
the person.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, actually, there's other real things too.
Like cameos of real things.
Well, no, because there's the water he's in was real, but all of it was shot on
pretty
a soundstage.
Sure it was fake.
So
fake water. Didn't even get wet.
Mm.
Dry water. You ever heard of dry water? Mm. Jungle Book has.
Sounds like something
John
we would have
Favreau.
In Arizona. And
genius.
I haven't seen it in Arizona.
John Favreau. Genius.
John Favreau.
Genius.
Guy from that one movie with the
thing.
All
right,
so
Kubo. We got Kubo, Jungle Book, Cody.
I don't have one. That's
you have to pick one, Dick.
Nah.
Come on.
Nah.
Don't take all the fun out of it.
Oh, I took all the fun out of it.
He does take all the fun out of it.
He's doing this again.
He is doing this again.
I did it last year. I'll do it this year. I tell you the truth. I know it's hard for me to pick. Like, the one I'd want to win would be Rogue One. Because the visuals in that were really good.
Stunning, some would say.
Yeah. I mean, but what's going to happen is they're going to look at, the CG characters and be like, whoa, you know? Because there's two CG characters that didn't look as good as the rest of the stuff that people will say. I think they look tremendous for what they did, recreating someone's complete face. You know, it wasn't like a monster or like a creature. It was like a human being that we know what they look like. Mm. And they recreated it pretty fucking well. But if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with Joe's and say Kubo because the visuals in that were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that was stop motion. Even like the larger set, like pieces, like the skeleton and shit.
So fluid.
Yeah,
so
it's so ridiculous.
Beautiful.
Like no stop motion should be able to move like that. That's all I'm saying. All right, next up, best film editing. Your five nominees are Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, La La Land, and Moonlight. I have seen one of these movies.
Same here. Mike has seen it too.
Yes.
Does it count if I want to have seen all of them?
I've seen three.
Which one? What other ones have you seen? Do you see Hell or High Water?
Yes.
Oh, really? Yeah. Thanks for the invite, Dick.
Right?
He just smiles like an asshole.
Yeah. Two fingers, bang, bang.
Yeah, Dick. So which one, Mike, since you're the best one to choose? Do you think any of the three you've seen, which would be Hacksaw Ridge, Arrival, and Hell or High Water, which one of those do you think?
I think it's honestly, I don't think it's going to be any of them. I think it's going to be La La Land.
You think so?
Yeah. I haven't seen La La Land. But the reason being is, like, editing, those movies obviously were very well edited.
Hence the reason they got nominated.
But those were still, like,
traditional
story-driven movies where I don't think it plays as large part in it as something that's as choreographed centric as La La Land.
And that's the thing about film editing that a lot of people don't realize is, like, yes, there's a lot of editing needed to cut those scenes because you're not shooting those large epic war scenes you'd see in, like, Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah.
A lot of it's edited together because you don't film Andrew Garfield running and then it's a close-up and then it's a faraway shot and like an explosion. It's all edited down to be one scene. I get that. With Arrival, obviously it's editing because unless they designed a floating spaceship that they could easily use a scissor lift to go into and then switch gravity, you edited some stuff. You know what I mean?
Gravity switch machine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they have let's just use it. Moonlight, I haven't seen. I heard tremendous things, but I never heard anyone say, oh, the editing was good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So all I've ever seen is just trailers in one clip, so hard to say. But La La Land, what makes that, I think, a standout for editing is having to edit the singing as well as the dancing. So it's not just
and the movement. From all accounts and purposes, it's a really good movie, too. Everyone seems to like it. And it's not just those, like, oh, it's a musical, we love it. You know what I mean? Like, people who don't traditionally care about musicals seem to really like this movie, too. I'm going to see it eventually. I just haven't made my way to it yet. But, yeah, probably.
He loves that one guy. He loves that guy from The Notebook.
Yeah, though.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. The guy who beats people with tire irons.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. But, no, if I'm put money on La La Land on that one. It just seems like that's one of those. I mean, it got nominated for fucking half the Oscars, so that seems like one of them that they're going to get.
Yeah, it has a bunch. I would agree. Joe?
As much as I would love to say Arrival, my immediate reaction is La La Land. Yeah.
All right. Next up, best costume design. One of these shocked me that it was in this. And it goes back to what we usually say, but it has a leg up on stuff. So it's not a comic book movie. It is an adaption of a book, though, and it's, well, sort of, which is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
All right, let's go through the whole list.
So you have Allied, you have Fantastic Beasts, you have Florence Foster Jenkins, Jackie, and La La Land. So if you see a theme going through these, they're all
Meryl
period
Streep.
Pieces. No, they're all period pieces. They're all from a certain time, and the costumes help the era, build the era and make you believe that it's in that time period. Really, things like Star Wars should
things
technically
that
have that
exist,
because it doesn't exist and you had to create it to make it look real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that aside, something Fantastic Beasts was set in like that, you know, the 30-ish era, 30s, 40s, but it looked like it. So everyone was wearing what you would think or we've come to think that people dress like back then. So I would love to see that win.
Yeah, so would I.
And the stuff that beyond that, even the magical costumes when they went into like the place with all the magicians and the hidden building, whatever, their costumes were outlandish and they still look, even the girl with the headgear and all that stuff, it looked real, but it doesn't exist either. So that would have been nice. But something like Jackie is going to win. Maybe La La Land could win that too, but
I think Flor... Jackie. What was it?
Florence Foster Jenkins
yeah. is going to win it. Because I haven't seen that movie yet. I do love Meryl Streep, but I haven't seen that movie yet. But from like the trailers, in a heartbeat I would. I don't know why. It's a thing that I have. Don't know why. But from the trailers, like, she's got real extravagant, you know, wear, and she's kind of dressed over the top. And it's also a period piece, like you were saying. Yeah, so, I want to see Fantastic Beasts win it, just to like get one for that crew, you know, like that side of things. Our people, I guess. but
the nerds win.
I want that. I think it's gonna be the Meryl Streep flick.
All right.
I am going to say Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them only because I want it to be that, because this is a horseshit category.
Yeah.
Cody tiptoed around it. That is that, you know, what you know, nicely put what the emotions are, but this category has always been complete horseshit.
I love the fact he's using horseshit.
You have other films that you could literally nominate for this.
That make way more sense.
And yes, a lot of them are comic book movies. You had Deadpool this past year. You had
Civil War.
I mean, you had Suicide Squad is what I was thinking of. So you had all these movies that absolutely could have been nominated for this stuff that actually did do costume design, but don't get nominated at all. Instead, you end up getting these fucking period pieces. And even Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, most of that stuff is just off-the-shelf designs. That, yes, you replicated something from the 40s. Good job. I'm so glad that you're getting a fucking gold star for doing something that's already been done before.
He hates this category, for sure. Right.
Well, let's get your pick and move on.
I already said it.
He already said his pick.
I'm talking to Cody.
To talk about... I already said mine.
Yeah.
That was the first one.
Yeah.
Duh, Mike, pay attention. Real quick before we go past this one, to Joe's point, it's harder to design something that doesn't really exist and bring it into the real world.
And make it functional
in the real world, like an Iron Man suit or Spider-Man's outfit.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't just a guy in tights. I mean, it was a fully functional suit. And yes, it didn't work. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. didn't fly around in it.
No.
But it looked like it could.
Yeah.
Well, that's all CG, though. You know what I mean?
Not all of it, because sometimes he's wearing the actual
outfit. I think a better example would be Deadpool.
I mean, technically, some of that's CG, too.
Some of it is, but not as much as Iron Man is.
Yeah, so... But yes, I mean, I think that they're missing that fact that they're taking something that was drawn, only ever drawn, and making it something tangible in the real world, where something like Jackie... We have photos of real people wearing those real clothes.
You have a different list than I do?
No.
Because I don't see Jackie on Best Costume Design.
Jackie.
No, then you literally do have, because mine is La La Land, Fantastic Beasts, Florence Foster Jenkins, and Allied.
Yeah, Jackie's the fifth one.
That's weird. There's no fifth one on here.
Your list is dumb, or they believe that Jackie has no chance of winning.
Well, there were a couple of... like you said, there were a couple of missteps on there. I wonder.
Well, this is Wikipedia, but this is coming directly from the site. So
then Google has failed me.
Google's failed once again. All right, so that's it for best costume design. Next up, best makeup and hairstyling. This one was weird to me because it only has three things in it, so they couldn't really think of anything else. But the ones they chose were A Man Called Ova, which is some Swedish movie that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Star Trek Beyond and Suicide Squad. So, obviously with Star Trek Beyond, you have, like, the spiky-headed chick, mm-hmm. and you have the main bad guy. Bad guys, I guess you really say. And you have the little guy that runs around with Scotty. You know what I mean? There's a lot of makeup that goes into those. I'm not saying it's not. But what happened in A Man Called Ova? Like, what is that movie that made it go against these two? I mean, you have in Star Trek Beyond, like I said, you have all those. Suicide Squad, you have a bunch. Like, you have Killer Croc,
yeah.
who, despite not being the right size, looked like he had fucking alligator skin.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? Like, Diablo's tattoos look pretty legit, and that comes from a guy who kind of knows something about tattoos.
Like Joe.
Yeah, exactly. Joe's my authority.
All the tattoos.
All of them. Inside of his eyelids are tattooed. So I'm going to have to look up what a man called Ova is, because I can't imagine what makeup hairstyle.
I'm looking at stills from it, and it's just an old dude walking around. So
is maybe it an old guy, or is it a young guy playing an old guy?
That's maybe it's a young
okay,
guy.
That's probably what it is. Okay. So to me, I would say the winner of this is going to be Star Trek. I would like Suicide Squad to win.
Suicide Squad's going to win it.
But the reason I say because they, for one of the first times ever, like, the makeup and stuff was really, really well done in Star Trek Beyond. The other two had decent, but they shied away from a lot of it in the other two movies.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it's full on, like, Justin Lin's like, no, we're going to have so many aliens, and they're going to be right up front.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. So that would be my guess. Mike?
Suicide Squad.
Of course.
Star Trek.
Boom. Two against one. Someone's going to be correct, maybe.
Suck it, Mike.
We can all be wrong
on these ones.
It's going to be the man called Evo or whatever it was.
Ova. I don't know what it is. Best cinematography. We have Arrival, La La Land, Lion, Moonlight, and Silence.
One more time? What?
Best cinematography. Okay. Arrival, La La Land, Lion, Moonlight, and Silence.
Arrival.
So Silence is the new Scorsese, right?
Yeah.
His one? Yeah.
Andrew Garfield.
Where he didn't actually get nominated for a director. One of only two movies he's ever made that he didn't, by the way. It's a tough one, right? Because, again, I haven't seen La La Land, but we're talking about cinematography. So, like, the trailers I've seen, it looked really good. Yeah. And you got people moving around, and so I can imagine that one winning. But, I mean, Arrival was good, but nothing stood out to me.
Nothing was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, how'd they do that? I know how they did a lot of it. But I haven't seen... I really want to see Moonlight. I have not seen it. Nowhere Near Us is playing Silence and probably not going to. And I know very little about Lion.
I'm going to say La La Land. It just seems like that's the kind of movie we're going to win a cinematography award.
So two for La La Land and one for Arrival?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Best production design. This one had one that threw me off, and then I'll tell you which one. You can probably guess which one it was. I'll go in order. You have Arrival, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Hail Caesar, La La Land, and Passengers. Can you guess which one threw me off on this?
Hail Caesar?
Yes. Now, thinking about it after the fact when I first read it, now, because I have seen it finally, which I didn't think it came out this past year, but apparently it did. It feels like it was from 2015. This is one of the ones I didn't watch, but it definitely from 2016. The reason at first it threw me off, because production design usually means you made up all that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You had to make stuff, for example, Passengers. We don't have actual ships that travel like that in space. So you got to make that shit up.
Right.
But that's been done before, so I guess it's not too shocking. But the design was tremendous. I mean, everything looked really good. I mean, it felt really good, like the metal door and shit like that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? La La Land, again, it looks like, you know,
all set outside for the most part.
You know, like it looked really
like
good.
Like it's got the cool, like old school, like smoky room bars and vibe kind of sit to it. But that, again, doesn't seem like
Fantastic Beasts. The thing that got me, like that makes me automatically think, yes. Is when you go inside Newt's briefcase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that shit's made up. Like,
so how much of that is for, like, CG, and how much is it for, like,
this is production, right? So that's actually built. Yeah, physically built, yeah. Okay. Yeah, otherwise it'd be special effects.
And I feel like, go through the nominees again? Sorry.
You have Arrival, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Hail Caesar, La La Land, and Passengers.
Again, this is going to sound like I'm shitting on Arrival, but I feel Arrival is just so... Its brilliance was in its simplicity. You know what I mean?
And that's part of it with this, though, too. Because a lot of that... to me, it always shows it. It goes to the ship portions of it.
Yeah.
For the production design, because the tents they're in when they're at the camp, the base camp.
Yeah.
You've seen that a lot of times. You know, there's a lot of any contamination movie that's what
they
you
all
have.
Look exactly the same.
The thing about for me though is production design is when you're in the ship, because it looks like, nothing you've seen before.
Right, but it's so.
It's a lot of flat
basic
walls.
You know,
very square corners.
Yeah, and that's the thing that kind of throws it off.
Because, spoiler, Arrival's going to start, in my eyes, winning shit when you get more towards the big categories. But I feel like it's not going to get this one. I would say Fantastic Beasts will probably take this one. Hail Caesar is a dark horse. Hail Caesar could win it, but I think Fantastic Beasts.
Joseph?
Yeah, I haven't seen Hail Caesar. I know I wanted to, and I think it, like Mike said, it's a dark horse that could possibly win it. But I want to go with Passengers. You would think
space.
I would want... Well, I mean, yeah, but you'd also say, you know, the same thing with Arrival. Yeah. Arrival was also a really fantastic movie, but I think in production design-wise, like Mike was saying, the ship is more basic. Now, it works, absolutely, for the movie, but for winning a design award versus some of these other ones, even Fantastic Beasts, it's...
More of it goes into the actual physical design. Because a lot of the Arrival is CG'd in, because you don't have giant smoke-spewing tentacle monsters that look creepy as shit, and I would never want to get that close to them.
Right.
Where's all that smoke coming from, huh?
Vaping like a motherfucker. They're high as fuck, man. See them floating around.
We get it, aliens.
That's why they're talking that weird language.
Yep. They're like, we high as fuck, bro.
So that's why I go with Passengers, just because it is... you're still designing all that real stuff, but it's nothing... Again, it's nothing that necessarily exists right now.
Yeah.
So it's all stuff that had to be penciled out and then actually physically made. So that's why I go with Passengers.
I will say Hail Caesar. And the reason why is I'm a big film person. But the thing about this is it felt like a modern movie, like the way it looked, but they had to design sets to look like movie sets from back in the day.
Right.
With real physical objects. The one that got me the most was the scene with Channing Tatum, and it was really the only main scene with Channing Tatum. And it's a musical number where he plays one of several Navy men, and they dance and sing inside of a bar. And there's all this shit. It looks like those old-timey movies did.
Right.
But you know it's a set piece made to look like that, and it's like, that's a pretty good production value. Because when they're shooting it from the point of view of you seeing it through the camera lens, you're like, oh, shit, that looks like those old-timey movies, but obviously much clearer and much better. But then when you see it from the outside, you can see it's the raised floor and the fake exterior and all that stuff, and it's really, really cool. But it's one of those things where it's... Again, this isn't normal human beings voting for it. It's actually people in the business. So I think that's going to stand out more, and it could take that win. And yes, it's a dark horse, but I believe the production value is there, and it's much better from a technical standpoint than anything else, if you ask me.
Fair enough.
Next up, best sound mixing. So for the people who don't know, because there's two categories that have to do with the sound. There's sound editing and the sound mixing. Now, some people ask, well, what is the difference? Editing is taking two things and making them work together.
Mm-hmm.
Sound mixing is taking a bunch of shit and making it all work together in one scene or one movie over and over again. So that's background noise, that's talking, that's sound effects, music. All that has to be tied together and mixed together to make a cohesive sound quality where, A, it sounds real. A, it sounds like something you've heard before. B, it's intelligible by all means. And it doesn't sound like disjointed from what you're looking on the screen as. So to me, this is a very technical category. And I think everything in here, excluding the one movie or the two movies I haven't seen but looked like they did a good job. We have Arrival. We have Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and 13 Hours of Secret Soldiers of Benghazi.
And this is mixing.
This is mixing.
Mm-hmm.
Hacksaw Ridge is going to win.
You think so? I haven't seen Hacksaw Ridge, and again, I haven't seen La La Land. La La Land seems like it's a
That's
little
win on editing. Spoiler.
Yeah. Yeah, like that one seems more of an editing thing because you have to tie it, like you have to edit it together to make it one solid piece.
Yeah.
Mixing, to me, this is one of those categories where Star Wars wins a lot because there's so much going on, and it has its own. When I say it's something that, you know, it's real, obviously a lot of that shit's not real, but it's to us now because Star Wars has been around for so long. That it's something you recognize every time, and it sounds like it should, I guess you could say. But it was tremendous. I mean, it's tremendous. Like, the sound quality of that movie was, not to be super nerdy, but fucking unreal.
Yeah.
I've yet to see Hacksaw Ridge. 13 hours, the Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. The only thing that's going to cut back in that is the fact that the guns aren't as loud as real guns. But they do sound tremendous. Mm-hmm. The sound quality, that's really good. But I don't think it's going to win by any means. It sounds amazing, but I think Rogue One should win it. But
I think Hacksaw Ridge is going to win it because of the battle sequences. One, are not... It's not one big battle. It's basically the whole second half of the movie takes place on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. And... From the initial, you know, there's bombs and airstrikes and bullets whizzing by and people yelling at each other and literally the noise of people getting their legs blown off. Like, everything is so intense and so detailed into it. Like, I feel like that's probably going to get it.
Joseph.
Rogue One.
All right, cool. All right, next up is Best Sound Editing. We have Arrival. We have Deepwater Horizon, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, and Sully. I have seen one of these. And the mixing, the editing of that was pretty good. But it's there's not a lot to it, I guess, really. The editing of it, because there's a lot of long scenes and a lot of scenes that don't have a shit ton of sound going on in them other than just talking and then maybe like the air raid siren, helicopter noises, things like that. Nothing spectacular. It's good, don't get me wrong. That's why it was nominated, or they ran out of ideas. But something like Deepwater Horizon, I could see winning something like sound editing because of what's happening with the explosions and the fire and the water and all that fun stuff and the ships and blah blah blah. La La Land, obviously, that has a tremendous chance of winning because, again, like I was saying, editing multiple shot scenes into one cohesive continuation scene, especially with a song that is supposed to be visually seen being performed by your people on the camera, not just background music. Because it's easy to edit a song into a scene when it's not actually have to do with the scene. But it's like... They're literally like the people on the screen
as opposed
to
just helping set the mood to a scene. Yes. Like, it's basically another character in the scene, so it a lot more is writing on it. Yep. You know,
yeah,
you have to be a lot more detailed.
So I would say something like La La Land's probably going to be the winner on this one.
I agree, La La Land.
La La Land.
Boom. All right. Best original song. So we have. This one's interesting because you have a film going against itself. So La La Land has two, one for Audition, The Fools Who Dream, and the other one, which is
City of Stars.
City of Stars. Oddly enough, both written by the same people, so they could be losing to themselves, but also beating themselves.
Beat themselves.
You also have a song from Trolls. Can't Stop the Feeling, written by Justin Timberlake and some other people. You have The Empty Chair from Jim, the James Foley story, whatever the fuck that actually is, but it was written by Sting, so I know that much. And then you have How Far I'll Go from Moana, which is tremendous. Not the song I would have picked.
Right.
But it is the song that kind of plays through the entire movie, so I understand why it's the one they picked. So what do you think? I mean, odds on favorite, because it comes from a musical and there's two of them. I'm thinking La La Land might take this one.
Yeah, that seems kind of unfair to vote them for two.
I mean, they have
the
40% chance to get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I would want to say Moana. Like you said, it's not the song that I would have picked. But it's the more recognizable one.
It's not even the more recognizable. I think it's the more intricate one.
Yeah.
There's more to it. Yeah, because it spans more in the movie.
Yeah.
Because it also tells more of the actual movie itself. All the songs from it are original.
Yeah.
From Moana.
And spectacular.
They're fantastic. Mike's actually convinced me to listen to the soundtrack more than once, so I have. And they are. And if you listen to them in order, it's like watching the movie.
It's the story.
You can listen to it and you get almost every little bit of the story told through the song, which is fantastic. Because you can't really say that about too many, even musicals like Frozen, for example. You listen to those songs, you're not getting the whole story.
No,
Moana, you're like, they could have made Moana a full on musical, and it would have made sense just as it was.
Which I'm sure they will.
Yeah. But speaking of that, La La Land is actually just a musical.
Yes.
It's a lot of its dialogue is delivered through its songs. The story is told through its songs. Why? Because it's a musical. Moana has a lot of speaking parts in it.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to have singing characters in it, so it can be considered a musical in a way. I think it would be interesting to have Moana win for that. And it's that Lin-Manuel Miranda guy.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, the guy who wrote...
He Egots if he gets it, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Damn, son, number 9? Or number 10?
Yeah, number 9.
I'm rooting for history.
Right?
I mean, that's EGOT. It's pretty... And there is, if you don't know what EGOT is, by the way...
Thank you, 30 Rock.
30 Rock. But it's basically a Tony, an Emmy.
We'll say it in order.
Oh, sorry. An Emmy, a right. Tony.
Dude.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'll get it. An Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, a Tony.
Yes.
Jeez.
Does that spell EGOT?
Yes. So.
You're the smart one, goddammit. Get your shit together.
I would have got them all right, just not in the right order. Yes, it would have been. It's amazing to see that.
Your phone picks something up.
Oh no! This is a message. It's a direct message.
Oh, you might want to turn that off during your. You know.
It didn't make noise, did it?
Your phone's like EGOT.
No, it's on vibrate.
I heard the doo-doo.
That wasn't me.
And the screen came on.
Oh, maybe she heard me tell her to shut up, because I said EGOT way too many times apparently. Anyways, I would like to see him win for Moana, but La La Land is being touted as the greatest thing ever.
That man. It's going to be Moana.
All right, well. Joe?
I said Moana.
All right, there you go. Next up, best original score.
But on a side note, Moana easily could have gotten 3.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Easily could have gotten 3 in that category. So
should have probably gotten 3. It was probably not. These are the nominations that are going up for the award, but I guarantee more of them were considered to be nominated, because there's nominations and then there's the nominated. So there's a lot more. I'm sure there's more talk than that.
Which one's your favorite off the soundtrack?
Come on now.
You're welcome.
Yeah. It's just so much fun.
It is, really.
It's by far my favorite. Like, I've listened to it more times.
Dude,
than
there's else. Four. There's four that could have been. How Far Ago, obviously. I Am Moana. And I don't think, I think I Am Moana didn't count because it was short and it's not there's no chorus and a verse to it. But it's amazing. It's like a one shot and then it ends. You're Welcome and Shiny all could have been fucking
Shiny's
nominated.
Oh yeah, Shiny's pretty good. Yeah,
yeah, Shiny's fantastic.
So good.
Nah, plus, it makes you laugh the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Little fucked up arm. best original score. We have Jackie, La La Land, Lion, Moonlight, and Passengers. Passengers.
It's gonna be La La Land.
Yeah, best original score.
We had to take a lot of time on that one.
No.
The other thing, too, is, like, how is Moana not in this list?
I don't know.
I mean, they're all original songs. I mean, there's a score to it. I mean, a lot of it is the same, is the melody to How Far I'll Go, but it just makes me think, I don't know.
Hmm.
Again, I haven't seen La La Land, but obviously there's a score for it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, whatever. So, La La Land, I think we all agree, La La Land on that. Passengers actually has music. I just can't. really remember it too much. No,
because
a lot of it's like intense.
It's just,
sounds,
but it's still just your standard musical score.
Yeah, it's nothing spectacular. I didn't leave going, score is really good.
Yeah.
Where something like Moana, I did. I'm like, God damn it. Mm-hmm. I'm still singing these songs. I saw this movie once.
You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fuck, dude. How's he? He should be. Oh, that makes me mad. Best animated short film. I have seen two of these.
I've only seen one that I can remember.
And the only reason I saw the second one is because I watched it the other day because it was nominated and it was on YouTube. We have Blind Vashaya, I'm guessing how I say that. My first one? I don't know. Borrowed Time is the second one I've seen. Pear Cider and Cigarettes, which I have no idea what it is. Pearl, and you have Piper. Piper is from the beginning of Moana. So no, not Moana. Finding Dory.
Yeah.
Inside the insides or whatever it was. Inner Workings is the one from Moana. About the guy had to poop and pee. Isn't that the one from there?
I can't remember.
I think so, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Is the one that got a square head?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like his heart's telling him what to do?
Yes. Yeah, that's the one from Moana.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Piper.
I would say Piper. Borrowed Time was cool. Piper was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that was real.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we'll pass off as animated because we'll like CG their eyeballs or something. Because I'm pretty sure those are real bubbles. That was a real bird. That was real sand. Real grass.
Real tear. I mean, yeah.
Real tears. Real. Yeah.
Fuck, no, dude. Those were CG.
Yeah,
CG in real life.
Uh-huh. Same as the ones in your tissue. Mm-hmm. Best animated or best live action short film.
I haven't seen any of these, so I've
not. I have not seen any of these, so we're going to skip over it because it's not a category we can actually give you an item on.
Pass.
So we'll probably get that one wrong. Best documentary short subject.
Pass.
I have not seen any of those. Mike, have you seen those? Good.
Nope.
Okay. Best documentary. I have only seen one of these.
It's going to be the OJ one.
I have not seen that one. I saw Fire at Sea. So, oh, so I've seen two. Life Animated. I saw that one too. That one should win. That was good.
It's going to be the OJ one.
Probably, pass.
Yeah. Pass.
Again, I cannot tell you what's going to win this next category, best foreign language film, but that man called Ova is in it. So I'm going to guess that one's going to win because it's the only one in here that has more than one nomination for stuff.
Pass.
Best animated feature film.
Here we
this
go.
This one is tough.
It's a lot harder than you guys are going to think.
There's three that are really the ones that are being considered, but the five are Kubo and the Two Strings, Moana, My Life as a Zucchini, The Red Turtle, and Zootopia. This is a tough one. Three of those being Kubo, one of them, Moana, and Zootopia, they're all fantastic.
They're all fantastic in their own right.
Yeah.
Kubo, it was a really good story, a really good production and design behind it. Moana was funny, had a lot of good music to it, and a good story. And Zootopia was funny and interesting, and had a lot to say, I should say. And the visuals, the CG was fantastic. But I think I'd have to go to Zootopia.
Mike?
Moana.
Yeah, I figured. I will choose one. I don't want to. But if I had to choose one, it would probably be Moana.
Hmm.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to
say Zootopia.
Yeah.
Zootopia, I mean, it is, it's fucking tremendous. But the thing about Moana is that fucking water.
Yeah.
That fucking water's unreal.
Having the balls to make the water a character.
Yeah.
It's crazy for an animated
The other thing,
movie.
Too, is like it's just overall, it's a gorgeous movie. Just everything about it is just tremendous. But it's a very close one between Zootopia and Moana. And I kind of wish Zootopia wasn't in there because it makes me feel bad not, you know, choosing that one.
You should feel bad.
But I don't feel bad. But yeah, so definitely. I'm going to go with the Moana on that one. This one, I've only seen one of them, but this is Best Adapted Screenplay. We have Arrival, Fences, Hidden Figures, Lion, and Moonlight.
This one's going to be Arrival. What's it adapted from, by the way?
A short story called A Story of Your Life.
Yeah.
Or Story of Your Life.
It's going to be Arrival.
So, I mean...
This is where Arrival starts.
Arrival of these is the only one taken from not true events. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, so far it's not true events. So it'll be interesting to see. But I would not have read the short story, but... I heard it's really good. Just it's, I mean, it's just a short story, so
right.
I mean, I probably could read it pretty quickly. What do you think?
I just because I haven't even read the story, I can't make a
decision
on it.
Mike's gonna say, you've seen Fences and Arrival, so that's two you can choose from. But Fences, though, I don't even know what that's
about. It's adapted from a
book from the same guy.
Yeah, but it was also.
Oh, he passed away.
And so I feel like when it was a book, but it was very much so written in a play style. Like, oh, it was gotcha. Very easily adapted to stage. Mm. And when you watch the movie is very, very much so tries to give you that one set kind of feel.
Oh, okay.
Like 90% of the movie takes
single
place
camera type
in
thing.
Their house. There's a scene where Denzel is delivering a monologue directly to camera, and it doesn't feel like it's trying to be artsy or anything. It just makes sense. But I feel like Fences could win, but I feel like it's almost cheating if it does, because it's not really that adapted. You know what I mean? It's pretty straight across. But I'm going to go with Arrival.
Next one, best original screenplay.
Ooh, this is where it gets fun. I like this one.
So we have 20th Century Women, Hell or High Water, La La Land, The Lobster, and Manchester by the Sea. Michael, I have seen one of these movies, so I can't really tell you. I mean, at this point, I would be like, well, The Lobster, because that's the only one I've seen of them.
How was it, by the way?
It's fantastic. Colin Farrell, dude. Fucking guy, dude.
I heard John C. Reilly like tears it up in that one, too.
He's better. John C. Reilly's always better as that secondary character.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't wait to see Kong, Skull Island, because of him.
Right.
Like, fuck, dude. That when I knew he was in it, but I thought he was going to be like one of those like tertiary soldiers. And when you find out who he is in that second, like actual, like real long trailer, I was like, all right. You had me because it was King Kong. He's giant.
You got my money, sir.
And I like Samuel Jackson. I like Loki, and I like John Goodman, and Captain Marvel. But like, once I saw it, I was like, all right, well, you definitely got my money now, because I want to see fucking John C. Reilly go cray cray on this fucking island with all those crazy, you know, natives. So I can't say what it would be, but Joe, have you seen any of these?
No, I haven't seen any of these.
So that's a pass for Joe.
That is a pass for me.
Mike has seen. Two of these. One he tells us we shouldn't go see, but I still want to see it.
It's going to be Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, I think so. All right.
All right.
Feel strongly about it.
That's his guarantee. Remember that. His guarantee, not our guarantee.
Mm-hmm. My personal guarantee.
It's got Mike's stamp all over it, all sticky and runny. Best Supporting Actress. So we have Viola Davis for Fences. You have Naomi Harris for Moonlight. Nicole Kidman for Lion, Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, and Michelle Williams for Manchester by the Sea. Again, this is supporting actress.
Michelle Williams crushes this role, but I don't think she's got enough screen time to take it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the chick from Fences.
Viola Davis.
Yeah, she's going to win.
Joe hasn't seen any of these movies.
Any of these?
I mean, the best I can say is Viola Davis, because Fences is the trailer that I have seen, at least for this. I've seen a little bit of trailers from Manchester by the Sea, but more of Fences. And
gotcha. Yeah. All right. Again, I can't really vote on this because I haven't seen any of these. I could tell you about them, though. I mean, I know about them, but that's about it. Best Supporting Actor. I cannot pronounce this dude's name. I know his last name is Ali.
Marshala?
Is it Marshala? Because it doesn't look like it should be.
That's what it looks like to me.
Marshala, okay. Marshala Ali for Moonlight. Jeff Bridges for Hell or High Water. Lucas Hedges for Manchester by the Sea. Dev Patel is for Lion. And Michael Shannon for Nocturnal Animals. Oh, hey, I've seen that one. Yay! I can tell you about one of them.
It's another one I haven't seen any of them.
Mike has seen two of these. Do either Jeff Bridges or Lucas Hedges or Hedges win for supporting actor? How was Jeff Bridges in Hell or High Water? Are you super creepy?
One of his better ones in a long, long time.
Yeah. Okay. I shouldn't say creepy. They said he's offsetting.
It's like every now and then he gets a role that like he gets
Seventh Son. Am I right? The movie's terrible.
But in response to that, it's like he has these movies where you're just like, why did he pick this movie? But then he'll get these fucking movies where he's just like, oh god, that's right, you're one of the best actors ever. Like yeah. I forgot. Anyway, he's like his style is nothing like Nick Cage. But you know, like when Nick Cage was taking a shit seriously and he wasn't fucking batshit crazy, you're like, holy god, this guy's a really good actor. Like, yeah, do some like, batshit crazy shit. Jeff Bridges is really, really good. The kid from Manchester by the Sea plays he's the teenager who lost his dad and blah 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 blah. He did really, really good. But you kind of feel like Jeff Bridges is just gonna take it, right? Like. I feel like if Jeff Bridges gets enough buzz, he's gonna win.
I'll vote for Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, you will.
A vote for Jeff Bridges is a vote for America.
I'd vote for him even if he wasn't in any of these movies.
Yeah, we'll give Jeff Bridges best picture.
I don't know if that works. All right, next up, best actress. You have Isabella Huppert for Ella, Ruth Negga for Loving, Natalie Portman for Jackie, Emma Stone for La La Land, and Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins. I have yet to see any of these.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of them either.
Mike has seen none of these. Right, Mike? You haven't seen any of these, right?
Where is Amy Adams at in this one?
That's the one she got cut from.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
This would have been hers. I feel like she would have won.
So, yeah. If you guys don't know what Mike is referring to, Amy Adams was reported to have been nominated for Best Actress for her role in Arrival. When I say reported, it was shown on the official Oscars website that she was one of the five nominated for Best Actress. In actuality, Ruth Negga for Loving was actually the one that won that fifth spot for the nomination. No one knew it was coming because she hadn't been nominated for anything else, but Amy Adams had been literally nominated for Best Actress on every major industry award up until this particular one.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Screen Actors Guild, Golden Globes, all of the big ones. All the ones that like tell you who's going to get nominated for an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone would have lost every cent they owned if they would have bet against her. Because literally like, no one saw this coming. And that's why whoever set the Oscars website up said, oh, she's in there, right? This Ruth Negga.
They're just going through and copying and pasting the previous nominees.
So I have not seen any of these, so I can't actually tell you about any of them.
I'm rooting for Emma Stone, though.
I'm rooting for Emma Stone as well.
Yeah, me too. Best Actor. You have Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea. You have Andrew Garfield for Hacksaw Ridge. Ryan Gosling for La La Land, Viggo Mortensen for Captain Fantastic, and Denzel Washington for Fences. I have seen one of these movies, and I believe Viggo Mortensen was terrific in it. The movie is super fucking sad, but not as sad as I've heard Manchester by the Sea is.
It's the world's saddest movie. It's going to win that Oscar for world's saddest movie.
There's no Oscar for that. But if there was, I'm sure it would win for it. So, I have heard nothing about Denzel Washington's performance in Fences. I've heard too much stuff about Ryan Gosling in La La Land. Like, he was born for this role, and this is the only thing he should ever do. I'm like, well, then
he's not going to be very popular.
Not going to be very popular at all.
Doing musicals.
Yeah. Because there's not a whole lot of those. I heard Andrew Garfield is fucking tremendous in Hacksaw Ridge. And I heard Casey Affleck is the best fucking actor in the world if you watch Manchester by the Sea, because he is like the best thing ever, apparently, in this movie. They're like, he must have wrote this for himself, even though he didn't write it.
Didn't Damon write it?
Oh yeah, his brother did. Or Matt Damon wrote it, and then they produced it.
It was supposed to be Matt Damon in it too, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he conflicted with other stuff, and he said he didn't want to do it.
Nah. He didn't want to be depressed for fucking 3 months.
He didn't want to shoot himself later.
Cold ass town, being all depressed and shit.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah.
All right. Here's my thoughts on this, because I've seen three of the movies. Okay. I can speak to Denzel's performance, I can speak to Andrew Garfield's performance, and I could speak to Casey Affleck's performance, which we can all agree is probably like the three main leading
ones. Yeah, yeah, main for ones. Sure.
Like, it's gonna be one of those three. Pretty sure.
You don't think Ryan Gosling has a shot?
No. Ryan Gosling is a good actor, but he's not gonna win.
Fair enough.
He might. I don't know. There's been a lot of buzz on it, but I feel like the fact that it's a musical and it only happens so rarely now is kind of giving him extra juice, you know?
Well, he won the other awards too, right? He won Golden Globe and the Screen Actors Guild, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, Casey Affleck won one of them.
Oh, he might have won Golden Globe.
Here's the thing. Casey Affleck's performance, it felt like... It felt like a Casey, like, this is the weird thing to say. I mean, we've talked about this in the past where it's like, oh, it's this actor is just playing himself in this situation, you know, or this in this situation.
Right.
Obviously, that's all very, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but very like up to your interpretation for the most part. But like Denzel is playing classic Denzel in this one.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's over the top. He's got the, you know, he's chewing scenery. He's he's getting angry and changing his facial expressions, which is great. He's the one of the best to ever do it. But this is like all like these two roles got Casey Affleck's and Denzel's. It's like, man, it's right in their wheelhouse. Like that's their shit. You know what I mean? Like this, if they keep doing movies like this, roles like this, they're going to be getting nominated every other year for something.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Garfield is like the dark horse in this one, because I didn't know Andrew Garfield had this kind of performance in him.
Cause you've seen him in one thing.
I've seen him in more than one thing, but
okay. I was thinking the only thing you'd seen him in would have been Spider-Man's.
I've seen him a couple other things. But I didn't think he had this kind of performance in him.
He's British. Of course he does.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
Now you feel foolish, don't you?
No.
Oh.
But I think that it should probably be Andrew Garfield. Just based off of... Like, again, I didn't know he could do this. I didn't know he could act so well.
So if there was a category called Surprise Best Actor?
Oh, he'd win it.
Okay, fair enough.
If there's Surprise Best Actor, he'd win it. But I do feel there's one scene in Manchester by the Sea where...
Are you tearing up?
No.
Oh, look, you were getting glassy-eyed. I was like, Jesus.
No, there's one
like
scene.
Slowly reenacting.
I'm replaying the whole movie, and I'm just gonna leave
and
now.
He's just like,
but there's one scene that, and I'll tell you guys after you see it, and I will think if Cody watches it, and I'll ask him what scene that I'm talking about. I think he'll probably pick the same one. But there's one scene where you're like, he's gonna win the Oscar. Like, I remember thinking that after the scene happened and after the emotions calmed down a little bit, I was like, oh yeah. That's why they're talking about it. This last 10-minute stretch right here. Like, everything else has been really, really good. That shit was fantastic. So I think Casey Affleck's going to win it. Denzel could, because it's Denzel doing Denzel shit, but I think Casey Affleck's going to win it.
Next up, Best Director.
Oh, shit.
We have Denis Villeneuve for Arrival, Mel Gibson for Hacksaw Ridge, Damien Chazelle for La La Land, we have Kenneth Lonergan from Manchester by the Sea and Barry Jenkins from Moonlight. I have seen one of these.
I have seen none.
You've seen Arrival?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Arrival's on there.
It's okay. I mean, Arrival's good.
But is it best director good?
I don't know.
He needs to spell his name correctly. It's two N's and Dennis. We're not. We're in America. I'm just kidding. No, I've. I mean, it was tremendous. And it was very well directed. It would have to be because it could be easily a nightmare.
Yes.
With all the shit that has to go through, but it's one of those things where like it's. He had to do less work, I'd almost imagine, versus someone like a Mel Gibson who has to wrangle a bunch of shit and get it all directed. You know what I mean? But I can't really say who would win this. If I had to choose, though, I would like to see Mel Gibson win for this.
It would be interesting. Yes.
Because that crazy bastard is always a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't really say if his directing was that good because I have not seen it yet. Mike, what do you say?
Mel Gibson.
Joseph?
I couldn't say.
Okay.
Put a guess out there.
Yeah, throw a guess out there, motherfucker.
You've seen previews for everything.
No, I haven't.
You've seen previews for some of the stuff. Put a guess out there.
Yeah, I've seen previews for Manchester by the Sea, Hacksaw Ridge, and Arrival.
And
so,
La La Land.
Oh, yeah, a little bit for La La Land. I guess Mel Gibson.
Fair enough. All right, last category, and obviously the most important category, next to Best Actor. Just kidding. Best Picture.
All right, here we go.
Number one, first, we have Arrival, we have Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. Just to give some light on this, Best Picture many times goes to a dark horse. They like to do that because... it's overall everything. So what you'll notice about this list, a lot of this list has to do with people who are in the best of something category for a single person and a overall type thing. So like best director, they're all in here. Best actress, best actors, a lot of them sprinkled in here. So you're going to see those in there. But again, I can't really... say too much about this one because I've seen one of these movies, so I'm gonna let Mike talk because he's seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these movies. Mike, what do you think?
Dang. Fuck, man, I can't say enough good things about Manchester by the Sea, and I want it to win, but Arrival's gonna win.
Think so?
Yeah, Arrival's definitely gonna win.
I think it's going to.
I don't know. There's just something that I'm saying that I'm thinking that it's not going to. And I think that it has to be because it's more of a sci-fi film. And in my mind, yeah, they don't win Best Picture awards. I can't even think of like the last.
The thing about this though that helps it is it's a cerebral movie too.
Yeah, but it's still.
And it makes you think about it.
The sci-fi aspect to it is so
low key.
Backseat, you know what I mean?
But not when it comes to awards.
Yeah. It all depends, because again, this is less people. If it were more people, I'd almost see sci-fi movies winning more often, also being nominated more often.
Yes.
But because it's industry people, a lot of them are haters in the sci-fi realm.
Yeah.
Hence the reason you don't get a lot of those in there.
Oddly enough, I'd like to see Hidden Figures win this, actually.
Because it's about space?
That plays a lot into it, yes. But
it's a dope story, though.
Yeah, then that's what I mean. It's a story that I didn't even know about. Like,
yeah, I had no
even
idea.
Going, like, because I graduated with a degree in aerospace engineering. You know, I'd love
you would
almost
think you would
every aspect of this. And I did know about... women's contribution to manned space flight. I know my brother works over at that retirement place, and yeah. There is an old lady there that worked with NASA doing this stuff. I don't remember who it was, but I was like, well, that's really cool. But it's something that I never knew how much their contribution was. And even for the time that, because this is about the African American women that were helping out so much and the struggles that they went through in order to just be recognized as equals
to do their job, no less.
Exactly.
Not even to like for recognition, but actually to get heard because of what they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing. Like, again, I had no idea about that story or the trueness to it. I had never heard of it. When I first heard about it, I was like, well, that didn't seem like... I mean, we've heard about this before, but I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it gets whitewashed. But it's not right. Because it's they wanted to whitewash it. It's just one of those things that never actually came up until someone heard about this, and is most likely once, you know,
Pharrell Williams.
What?
Pharrell Williams is the one that got this movie.
Yeah,
made.
I know, which yeah. is really bizarre. Yeah, because like he was reading about something, and he's like, "Oh, like this is a really good story," and I was like, "All
but
right."
But it
well.
Is something that needs to be brought out and something that needs to yeah. be shown.
And I'm, you know, it's one of those things where I'm glad something like that came out, and I'm glad it was so well done that it did garnish so many things. Like
with it being a true story too, yeah. it's got a leg up. I could very easily see that winning. The only reason I didn't pick it because I haven't seen that one yet, which I will eventually. It looks really good. I don't like one lady that's in that movie though, and it kind of turns me off of everything that she's
the main
in.
One?
Yeah, Octavia Spencer.
Is that her? That's supporting actress lady. The big one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like her.
She's the one nominated for supporting actress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, her movies instantly give me, like, I don't want to see it. But I'm still going to see that one.
Yeah, I understand what you're getting at. I just think that, for you know, the fact that she's playing an actual real person.
Yeah.
Here, it's not going to be
instead
her.
Instead of a character.
Yeah, exactly. That it she'll probably do very well in it. But, yeah, that's my pick.
Boom.
What's your pick, Cody? What are you guessing?
If I had to guess, it's going to be probably Manchester by the Sea or La La Land.
If I had to guess and not seen any of them, I would have picked Moonlight.
I want to see Moonlight. Like I'm
just
hey,
the weird buzz around it
is
and,
no near as
really and the way people talk about it. I'm like, oh, so that's going to be.
Yeah.
Seems like one of those movies that was made to win Oscars. You know what I mean?
Like a well-made movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like. You can't have a well-made comedy and have it win an Oscar. Like, it's not, you know what
well,
I mean?
Yeah, because there's no comedy category.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is the type
subjective,
of,
apparently.
It has to be a drama. Like, if you want to win Best Picture, you have to make a drama.
Not a space drama, though, because that shit'll never get fucking picked up. But it could be about space stuff, hence the reason there's two of them in this here.
So, do you think they'll ever add a category?
For what?
Like a comedy?
No.
Because the Golden Globes have... comedy or musical,
which still bothers me to this day. Why do those two get lumped up? There's plenty of comedies to have its own category, and but it's unfair to put a comedy against something like La La Land.
Because
it's like, yo,
you only get one La La Land every 4 years.
Yeah,
you know
it's like
what
that's
mean?
So fucking unfair.
Yeah,
of course it's gonna win that. Why? Because people are gonna musical.
Think they
oh, it's
add,
a really musical. Because it's probably a better
comedy.
Musical. Over any other comedy. It's a better musical than this is a comedy. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. most comedies always have that straight point to them, like that emotional aspects, you know? Where La La Land, it's a solid musical movie. So, I mean, it's unfair to do it. I mean, granted, you may not have, like, every year may not have enough musicals. Well, it's not our fucking fault. Make more musicals.
Mm-hmm.
The Muppets need a goddamn category when they make their movies. They're musicals.
Right.
Not all, I mean. But, I mean, with musicals, they're so... drawn back, you could make Moana. You could throw that in a category.
Mm.
Have fun deciding between those two fucking movies.
God, right?
Yeah. How about you wanted to see a board shoot themselves because they don't want to decide? Like, put those two movies against each other. It's just that's rough. You know what I mean? Anyways, that's my rant. I just never. It always bothered me. Golden Globes comedy, best comedy or musical. How the fuck did you ever
remember
those
the
together?
Martian one for
yeah.
best comedy? It's like there's some funny scenes in it, but that's not comedy.
But, yeah, no. No, not at all.
I just I wish comedies got the credit they're due. I wish
like actual comedies got the credit.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you can't tell me there's not enough of them. I mean, I wouldn't have thrown The Martian in there.
No. But I mean, the one that comes to mind is like The Hangover.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like that's a legit comedy.
Exactly.
It's a very
the first one.
We're talking about the first one. But I don't think it's something that even
real
would be nominated
quick,
in that.
If you make give me three comedies this year. Your best comedies. We're going to give it an Oscar.
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters would be the one there, yeah. I mean, you could pick five to choose from. Do a quick intranet search.
Comedies
of 2016.
I almost typed 17 because I'm a fucking moron. so here we go. I wouldn't agree with all of these right off the bat, but you have Deadpool, Sausage Party, Ghostbusters, Neighbors 2, Dirty Grandpa, and La La Land. Those are the six that pop up when you do a Google search.
La La Land?
So La La Land, I heard it's actually really funny. But it's not, to me, it doesn't fall into a comedy. Yeah. But because of the Golden Globes, it's in the same category because musicals and comedies are the same now, apparently. Because you're fucking dumb.
This would have been my three. We'll go five. We'll go five nominations.
Oh, I could easily pick five out of this. Just like, I would throw Deadpool in there.
Okay.
Deadpool. It's definitely a comedy. I would have Nice Guys.
Nice Guys.
Hail yep. Caesar. Central Intelligence. And Everybody Wants Some. Those would be my five.
I was going to put Keanu.
Keanu's in there. Yeah, Keanu would be good too. But those would be my five choices to nominate for there.
And the winner for the Oscar of Best Comedy of 2016 goes to
Nice Guys.
Every day. It's a fantastic movie.
Nice Guys.
It's super great.
It's so hilarious. From characters.
Again.
From actors that
a movie that how did it not get nominated for Best Costume Design? Best Productions. I literally thought they filmed that in the 70s.
I can definitely see production.
Like, how was that not early 80s? Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure Shane Black, like, we filmed this a while ago.
Even cinematography.
Yeah, just, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Because you're design. It really does feel like something that came out of the
70s. Did such a good job of making it feel like it is in that time period.
Yeah.
That early 80s, like, you know, like, come on now. You can't do, like, there's no way.
Yeah.
All right. Best Action Movie of 2016. Your nominees are... Well, I can't use Nice Guys because I just won Best Comedy. Your nominees are, we'll go Rogue One, Captain America Civil War, Suicide Squad, The Accountant, oh fuck, and The Magnificent Seven.
I would have to go with Rogue One.
I'm going to say The Accountant.
I'm going to go with The Accountant as well.
No. And
my reasoning behind that is that they're...
It's not one of those stupid sci-fi movies.
No, one of those stupid sci-fi movies.
Get the fuck out!
Right? Oh, I'd kick myself out.
Yeah, you should kick yourself in the nuts and leave.
At least in my mind, there's more real physical action in it.
No.
As opposed to Star Wars, where a lot of that stuff... Where more majority of it was... CG. So it's more of a, in my mind for this right here, it's more of the practical effects versus, or practical action versus.
No.
Batflix, John Wick wins.
Don't get me wrong. Accountant is tremendous. Way better than I thought it was going to be.
But you're anything Star Wars you're going to pick though, so it's not.
That's not always incorrect.
It's always correct though.
Pretty much
I didn't disagree with you at all.
Correct.
But I truly think that Rogue One is one of the best action movies ever made.
No.
It is.
It's a really good movie.
No, it is.
It's a really good movie, but it's not the best.
It's not.
I didn't say the best.
You said one of.
Yeah, one of.
Motherfucker, that means top five. Like, what?
No.
Yeah,
no,
easily.
It's not.
No. There's no way, dude.
Yeah, there is.
There's no fucking way.
Yeah, there is.
You're high on crack cocaine.
John Wick.
I'll be doing way worse things.
The Accountant.
You have The Accountant. That's three right there, and I can guarantee you give me a few more minutes, I can come up with two more.
Whichever your favorite Lethal Weapon is.
Oh, my God. There you go.
Lethal Weapon. What's wrong with you?
And
come on now. What were you going to say? Lethal Weapon 4?
I'm just giving you
a fuck. You also have things like Commando or even...
No, you can't throw Commando
in. Terminator 2?
Terminator 2. Boom.
What's up there?
Fifth. That's five.
Fifth.
All better action movies than Rogue One.
Nope. Yep.
Yeah.
This is what this podcast is going to be now. It's better.
What's better than Rogue One?
Not a whole lot. Boom.
Next week, we list every movie that's better than Rogue One.
Nope. It's impossible to do. Because I'll lose friends.
All right.
How about you go fuck yourselves? How's that?
Any other quick categories we want to give Oscars to?
No, that's really it.
All right. Congratulations, The Accountant. Congratulations. Nice Guys.
Nice Guys, yeah.
You guys took the first ever
made-up awards from
Comedy
Mike.
And Action Oscar. So congratulations from all of us here at Comes Naturally Podcast.
And that's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.